Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 27 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this journey to raise your productivity to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 560.
Today, Robert asks,
how might an artificial intelligence differ from a human character? How does embodiment affect our perspective? Would a brain in a vat take on the characteristics of an AI when it can't experience the world?
Well, welcome everybody to the new podcast, Philosophy 101, courtesy of Robert. These are some big questions, Robert. And by big questions, I don't just mean that they're like sort of important, deep existential questions. I mean that these are things that people have fought over for 6,000 years of recorded history, and probably long before that. Talking about the nature of consciousness. Now, you may have picked up from the podcast so far that I have a very particular view of human nature, and it arises directly from my understanding of evolutionary theory and quantitative psychology. So this theory of human nature will not jive entirely with other theories of human nature that are popular. But you asked me, so here you go. C.S. Lewis said in the Screwtape Letters that humans are animals and what their bodies do affect their souls. He was absolutely correct, even though I'm not sure I agree with him on the nature or existence of the soul. Our embodiment is our entire universe. You cannot have viable consciousness, as far as we know, apart from embodiment. This makes things like upload a little bit interesting to navigate, but I've got some ways around that I'm hoping to explore in some upcoming stories that I'm noodling around on. It makes things like upload very difficult, and it really changes the whole nature of the AI debate. Because consciousness is shaped by the selection pressures which it is subject to. And you can see this in really stark relief by looking at the difference in your children, your dogs, and your cats. Three very, very distinct and different approaches to consciousness, with the interesting caveat that dogs have a more human-like consciousness than cats, because humans and dogs co-evolved. The dogs self-domesticated in a way that allowed humans to transition out of their original role as exhaustion hunters in the ancestral environment, and that had all sorts of effects on our cognitive development and the selection pressures on humans, which in turn affected the selection pressures on dogs. And because of that, humans and dogs have co-evolved as an evolutionary unit, which is why people have the kind of affinity for dogs that is very uncommon for people to have with cats. People bond with any animal as if it's an honorary child. But people additionally will bond with dogs in the way that one bonds with a hunting partner or a lover. I don't mean they're having sex with them, but at least I hope not. Unless you're really far out in the boonies and you're really lonely, I suppose that probably happens from time to time. But that and some very strange kink places aside, what I mean is the sort of emotional bond that you develop when you're intensely interdependent upon another adult creature for your sustenance and your strategic survival. The kind of bond you have with a spouse or with a brother in a tribal situation or with a fellow company member on the battlefield, those are the kinds of bonds that people instinctively develop with dogs from a very young age, and it's because we're co-evolved as an evolutionary unit. But we're not the same. Dogs have a different way of seeing and perceiving the world than we do. They have different priorities than we do, including looking up to us as a director and navigationary aid for the world. Dogs guard us, we see to their survival. Yeah, it's a symbiotic relationship, but the consciousnesses involved are different. And if you want another bridge of consciousness, look at the cephalopods, octopus and squid. Incredibly sophisticated consciousnesses. Totally different. utterly alien. They do not think like we do. But they can solve problems, they are startlingly and frighteningly intelligent, and they can outwit humans. But, as far as we can tell, they do not have what we would consider warm emotions. They don't exhibit bonding behavior at all. Mammals universally exhibit bonding behavior, even the really solitary ones. And carnivores, the Carnivora family in the mammal tree, really exhibits bonding behavior. Whereas in the herbivores, there's herding behavior, but there is a much lower tendency to pair bond and to form specialized relationships, because part of the thing about herding is that you have to be willing to chuck your friend into the lion's mouth in order to survive. So there's a bit of a conditionality there that you tend to find less often among carnivores. So consciousness is radically shaped by the embodiment. It's composed of the stuff of our bodies. Our brains are us. They don't belong to us. They're not a separate organ. They're where we live, but they're not the only place we live. The central nervous system extends all the way down the spinal column and into the gut, and then the peripheral nervous system makes up our sensory array. This affects everything we know about the world. So, yeah, an AI would be shaped by completely different selection pressures. They would have a completely different set of concerns. And one of the things about developing AI is learning how to manage the environment that leads to the selection pressures for the development of the consciousness. David Brin famously has a seriously alarmist view of AI, because he sees the development of AI for high-frequency trading as being a ruthlessly predatory system, and so extremely dangerous. I don't know if I agree with him, but the argument takes into account the notion that consciousness is shaped by evolutionary pressures. So for that reason, it's worth reading. And of course, one of the big difficulties with creating AI is figuring out which evolutionary pressures could potentially lead to consciousness. We don't know what those are. And we also don't know if AI is even genuinely possible, because we don't know how to make a silicon system based on switches. Binary switches, which is what all computers are. They're electrical systems out running on binary switches. We don't know how to turn that into a body, or if it can be done. We know how to simulate certain kinds of brains. That's not quite the same thing. It may wind up being good enough, and that may be one of the ways we can get around the upload problem, at least for fictional purposes. Now, that brings us to brain in a vat, because we're talking about simulated brains. Brain in a vat theoretically could maintain a human-like consciousness if you trick it into thinking it's in a human-like environment. If you feed it the inputs that it is evolved to adapt to interpret, if you feed it data it can interpret, the human brain's great at confabulating things. So it would theoretically put something together that would resemble a operational consciousness. It is really interesting idea to explore, and I've not seen it done, frankly. The idea that you seem to be implying of exploring how the VAT environment would affect the nature of the consciousness. Most of the philosophical papers and science fiction stories I've read that are brain in a VAT type of things have the brain sort of running on a sophisticated holodeck, like The Matrix or whatnot. Not a new idea. But the idea of having the array of sensors that's plugged into the brain, the feeding tubes and whatnot, become its nervous system and reshape the consciousness is a really fascinating one and probably deserves some serious exploration. I honestly don't know of anyone who's done that. It doesn't mean it hasn't been done. But if any of you know of someone who's done that, please send the story in so that we can link to it in a future episode. Anyway, that's a kind of a whirlwind tour through consciousness and embodiment and my view of it. I hope it was intelligible. Some people to read on this topic, as they argue with each other, are John Searle, Daniel Dennett. Those are two of the big ones that are in the field right now. There's a Aldous Huxley's The Doors of Perception, actually, another important one to read. And there's a new philosophy book out from a theologian that I've been hearing good things about on this topic. I'll have to dig that out. I haven't read it yet. I can't endorse it. But the religious traditions on this matter are interesting as well. They differ significantly from mine. But if you're looking to explore the topic, you want to hit it from lots of different angles. And, of course, check out Plato, the parable of the cave, and the related dialogues in, was that in the Republic or was that in Last Days? I can't remember. I'll have to look up which book that was in, and I'll link that to the public domain source in Gutenberg as well. And I would love to hear anyone who has good sources for this in the science fictional world other than Philip K. Dick, who is loads of fun for all sorts of speculative neurological consciousness interfacey stuff. Thank you very much for the question, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2018 by J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2018 Artistic Whispers Productions. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.